Gopi Janavallabha, Yevanadariya. Gopi Janavallabha, Yevanadariya. Dana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Dana Ranjana Kamuna Tiha Vanacharya Damunati Havanacharya Kayo Radha Madhava Kunjabhyarya Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare Gopi Jana Vallabha Yevanadare Gopi Jana Vallabha Yevanadariya Yasoda Nandana Braja Dana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Dana Ranjana Damuna Tiha Vanacharya Damuna Tiha Vanacharya Dayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare Dayo Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare Gopi Jana Vallabha Yevanadariya Gopi Jana Vallabha Yevanadariya Yasoda Nandana Braja Dana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Dana Ranjana Kamuna Tiha Vanacharya Damuna Tiha Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihare Parabrahmacharya Asadara Sadhu Sri Sriman His Divine Grace Lacey Bhakti Vedanta Swamiraj Shrita Prabhupada Ki Jai Kaur Premanande Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 7, Chapter 8 Lord Nrisimhadev slays the king of the demons. As described in this chapter, Hiranyakashipu was ready to kill his own son, Prahlad Maharaj. But the Supreme Personality of God had appeared in front of the demon as Sri Nrikeshwari, half lion, half man, and killed him. Following the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj, all the sons of the demons became attached to Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this attachment became pronounced, their teachers, Shanda and Amarka, were very much afraid that the boys would become more and more devoted to the Lord. In a helpless condition, they approached Hiranyakashipu and described in detail the effect of Prahlad's preaching. After hearing of this, Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu was so angry that Prahlad Maharaj fell down at his feet and said many things just to pacify him, but he was unsuccessful in satisfying his demoniac father. Hiranyakashipu, as a typical demon, began to advertise himself as being greater than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, saying that Hiranyakashipu is not God, began to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead, declaring that the Lord is all-pervading, that everything is under him, that no one is equal to or greater than him. Thus he requested his father to be submissive to the omnipotent Supreme Lord. The more Prahlad Maharaj glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the more angry and agitated the demon became. Hiranyakashipu asked his Vaishnav son whether his God existed within the columns of the palace, and Prahlad Maharaj immediately accepted that since the Lord is present everywhere, he was also present within the columns. When Hiranyakashipu heard this philosophy from his young son, he derided the boy's statement, just as the talk of a child, and forcibly struck the pillow with his fist. As soon as Hiranyakashipu struck the column, there issued forth a tumultuous sound. At first, Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, could not see anything but the pillar. But to substantiate Prahlad's statements, the Lord came out of the pillar in his wonderful incarnation as Narasimha, half lion, half man. Hiranyakashipu could immediately understand that the extraordinarily wonderful form of the Lord was surely meant for his death. Thus he prepared to fight with the form of half man, half lion, and half man. The Lord performed his pastimes by fighting with the demon for some time, and in the evening, on the border between day and night, the Lord captured the demon, threw him on his lap, and killed him by piercing his abdomen with his nails. The Lord not only killed Hiranyakashipu, the king of the demons, but also killed many of his followers. When there was no one else to fight, the Lord, roaring with anger, sat down on Hiranyakashipu's throne. The entire universe was thus relieved of the rule of Hiranyakashipu, and everyone was jubilant in transcendental bliss. Then all the demigods headed by Lord Brahma approached the Lord. These included the great saintly persons, the Pitas, the Siddhas, the Vidyadharas, the Nagas, the Manus, the Prajapatis, the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the Kimpurushas, the Vaitalikas, the Kinaras, and many other, and also many other varieties of beings in human form. All of them stood not far from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, began offering their prayers unto the Lord, whose spiritual effulgence was brilliant as he sat on the throne. Text 1. Sri Narada Vacha Ata Daitya Sutta Sarve Shutva Tad Anuvartinam Jagri Hur Nira Vadyatvan Naiva Gur Vanu Shikshitam Shinaru Vacha Ada Daitya Sutta Sarve Shudva Tad Anuvarnitam Jagri Hur Nira Vadyatvan Naiva Gurvanu Shikshitam Shinaru Vacha Ata Daitya Sutta Sarve Shutva Tad Anuvartnitam Jagri Hur Nira Vadyatvan Naiva Guravanu Shikshitam Srinarda Vacha Srinarda Muni said Ata thereupon Daitya Sutta the sons of the demons class friends of Prahlad Maharaj Sarvai all Shutva, hearing, tat, by him, Prahlad. Anuvarnitam, the statements about devotional service. Jagrihu, accepted. Niravadyatvat, due to the supreme utility of that instruction. Na, not. Eva, indeed, Guru Anu Shikshitam, that which was taught by their teachers. Translation and purport by Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers Shanda and Amarka. Report. This is the effect of the preaching of a pure devotee like Prahlad Maharaj. If a devotee is qualified, sincere, and serious about Krishna consciousness, and if he follows the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master, as Prahlad Maharaj did when preaching the instructions he had received from Narada Muni, his preaching is effective. As it is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 325.25 Satang prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti ritkarana rasayanam kata. One tries to understand the discourse that's given by the sat or pure devotees whose instructions will be very pleasing to the ear and appealing to the heart. Thus if one is inspired to take to Krishna consciousness and if one practices the process in his life, he is surely successful in returning back home, back to Godhead. By the grace of Prahlad Maharaj, all his class friends, the sons of the demons, became Vaishnavas. They did not like hearing from their so-called teachers, Shanda and Amarka, who were interested only in teaching them about diplomacy, politics, economic development, and similar topics meant exclusively for sense gratification. Srinarda Vacha Ta Daitya Sutta Sarve Shutva Tad Anuvarnitam Jagrihur Nira Vadyatvan Naiva Guravanu Shikshitam. Narada continued, all the sons of the demons appreciated the transcendental instructions of Prahlad Maharaj and took them very seriously. They rejected the materialistic instructions given by their teachers, Shanda and Amarka. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pradistaya Bhutaya Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tunamane Namaste Sarasatam Deve Kauravani Vacharane Nirvisesa Srinivadi Paskatya De Siddharana. This process that's recommended to make advance in the spiritual life. Satam prasangam mama virya samvido bhavanti rikarna rasayanam kata tas joshavad ashvava varga vartmani shradaratira bhaktir anukramishriti. Satam prasangam, the association, hearing about Krishna and the association of devotees, especially devotees who are interested in making advancement in spiritual life. So that interest, jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Shri Gorni Kai ki jai, Lord Jagannath Pad Bhavade, Shrimati Subhadra Devi ki jai. So that ability to make advancement depends upon one's qualifications, partly. That is, that one has to be has some faith and know how, what is the process. One has to know how to control his mind sufficiently to hear. One has to know, be qualified enough to understand how we're bewildered by Maya, how Maya is tricking us in different ways, deluding us either into thinking that we don't really have to hear, or we don't have to hear from that particular person, or we have so many other interesting things to do other than hear about Krishna. Maya will not enthuse one to hear about Krishna. Therefore, one has to take shelter of Krishna's representatives and the process of devotional service, and with one's good intelligence be able to discriminate, to be able to analyze how Maya is discouraging one, how one is, Maya puts one in the modes of ignorance and passion. In the mode of passion, that one's mind is too agitated to hear about Krishna. And the mode of ignorance, we're too dull to hear about Krishna. So, generally the conditioned soul, he flickers between thinking I can't hear about Krishna because I'm too disturbed, or to think I can't hear about Krishna because I don't want to hear about Krishna. I'm too morose. Therefore, one has to be qualified enough, in spite of the fact that we might sometimes be influenced by these two modes of nature, to go beyond this temporary influence of Maya and with determination try to focus the consciousness upon hearing about Krishna. And that takes a little bit of sincerity. Sincerity, everyone thinks they're sincere. Whatever we're doing, we think we are sincere about doing it generally. But real sincerity means to be sincere about Krishna consciousness. As much as we are faithful, as much as we have realization how nice Krishna consciousness is, to that degree we become sincere about following it. We can't think, I'm basically sincere. Actually, basically the conditioned soul, he may have some sincerity as much as he's practiced Krishna consciousness, but he's generally much more sincere about sense gratification. Therefore, we have to develop our sincerity in Krishna consciousness by praying to Krishna to get a higher taste, to get higher experiences in Krishna consciousness, higher realizations. Higher realizations doesn't necessarily mean simply that we're going to float away in spiritual ecstasy. Just like there was one Brahmin in Chaitanya Leela, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was visiting him, and it was time to cook food, it was time for a prasadam, and the Brahmin said, I'm sorry, I haven't prepared anything, because I was lamenting how Sita has been captured by Ravana. So it is not that we should imitate such a high platform. And when someone asks us, why didn't you cook for the deities, you say, well, I was in so much ecstasy, lamenting how Sita has been captured by Ravana, I couldn't cook today. So this is not meant for us. this platform, and even if we are on this platform of consciousness, eventually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought back the Korma Purana, where it explained how Sita Devi was actually not captured by Ravana, only Maya Sita was captured, and the Brahman became even more excited, more enlivened, and he actually cooked. So even a higher platform of ecstasy is to actually cook. Therefore, one's sincerity has to be developed also by one's practical service attitude. Krishna will reveal himself to us by revelation because of our practical service attitude, not because of some artificial thinking ourselves to be on our very high platform that we don't have to do things practical. Perhaps in our later years when we can't do anything else, when the body is so weak that all we can do is meditate and trance on Krishna, then Krishna will reveal himself in that way fully. But in this particular stage, it would be rather artificial. As soon as we start to try and meditate on trance, immediately the mind would think, well, you're in trance, you've been in trance for at least 2 minutes, but it's almost time for prasadam. You should consider coming out of trance. Therefore, our real sincerity will be, our real realizations in Krishna consciousness will come through our practical engaging this body in Krishna's service. After all, according to our philosophy, we're not the body. So, we are not the body, nor are we the mind. But we want to engage the body, and we want to engage the mind. That's our desire. That is, if we're desiring, dear Krishna, please engage my body in your service. Because before that, Krishna, he says, not for some materialistic reason, but simply out of service to you. Therefore, we can desire that this body be engaged in some kind of practical service, whether it be distributing books or cooking or cleaning the temple. These are all practical desires. These are all the proper desires that my gross body should be engaged in Krishna's service. Not that whatever my body does, it's all right. But it's where my mind's at to count. But the point is that unless our body is engaged in some kind of practical service to Krishna, the idea that my mind is going to be engaged in Krishna's service is only theoretical. This is called sahajya. It doesn't matter what my body's doing, it's just where my mind's at. But the real fact is that it's easier to engage the body in Krishna's service than it is to engage the mind. It's much more obvious whether or not my body really is engaged in some kind of practical service. It's obvious to everyone. But where my mind's at, sometimes I'm not even aware. What to speak of anyone else? Therefore, how much we're practically absorbed in Krishna consciousness, at least partly, will be seen by how much we're steadily engaged with this body in Krishna's service. And then, by fully engaging the body in Krishna's service, then we can learn to gradually take control of the mind also. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was cleaning the Gundicha temple, so first he took the gross things and he threw them out, all the gross straws and dirt. And then later on, he finally cleaned the Gundicha temple, taking out all the subtle things. So first, we have to make sure that this gross body is engaged in Krishna's service and that my anarthas that deviate me from engaging fully in Krishna's service, that they're taken out first. And then the more subtle things can be eliminated. It is just like if one is cleaning his room, then generally, one doesn't, look for all the microscopic germs and clean them out first. And then later on, take out the trash and sweep the room. First, one goes after the big, the most obvious things, and then goes after the more subtle things. And here it says, serious, not that, as one actually realizes how subtle the laws of nature are, how a little deviation, Prabhupada used to say that Krishna consciousness is like a razor's edge, a little deviation, immediately one becomes cut. Therefore, one has to become more serious, that I can't be whimsical and just do whatever I feel like doing and expect to make any kind of steady progress in devotional service. And finally, everything will be judged by how much we're actually following the instructions of a bona fide spiritual master. It is not that, yes, I am so sincere, I'm in so much ecstasy, and that I am so qualified, and that I'm actually very serious, but I can't follow anyone's directions. It all has to come from me. I have to do what I want to do. I can't really surrender to anyone, because everyone is ultimately inferior to me, and therefore it would be degrading to surrender to anyone. So better I go on and set the example, and everyone, by my shining light, everyone can follow. And even those so-called leaders and authorities, they'll also realize that I'm the greatest and that they should follow me too. Otherwise, if I submit it to anyone, they might get the wrong idea. So this consciousness that I can't ultimately surrender to anyone, because ultimately you can't trust anyone except for your own mind, that this idea is all, this is the trap of Maya, which makes sure that although we think we're in ecstasy, although we think we're so qualified, although we think we're so serious, but one won't make any progress, because everything depends upon surrendering to the instructions coming down through disciplic succession. There's no question of service to Krishna unless one serves Krishna's representative. And there's no question of serving Krishna's representative unless one finds out what the representative actually wants. Not that, yes, as we give the example before, I'm sure one of the representatives, they like this flavor of ice cream. They'd like some kind of flavor. So I'll offer all 32 flavors, and I'm sure they'll accept one or two of them, and I'll take the rest. No, we should actually find out what the devotees want and then do that. Not that I'll do something wonderful, what I think is wonderful, and I hope they're kind enough to accept it, or they're advanced enough to accept it. If he's really a spiritual master, he'll appreciate all the divine things I do, whether or not he likes them, whether he wants me to do them or not. So not that we do something and then we find out whether it's the right thing. Before we do something, we should find out whether that's what they want us to do. And of course, the more one finds out is serious and sincere, then the more he actually inquires what is actually to be done, rather than trying to figure out, well, is this acceptable? Well, you don't like that. Well, what about this? Would you accept that? Well, you don't accept that. Well, what about this? Well, this is too much. I mean, next thing you're going to tell me is something I don't want to do. And if you tell me that, then I'm going to have to reject you. I mean, I'm kind enough to do service, and now you're going to tell me to do something I don't want to do. This is too much for me. There must be something wrong with you. You don't appreciate me. So if one is really sincere and serious, then he'll actually try to find out what is actually necessary and then do that. Prabhupada used to say, to do the needful. And then if one takes that attitude, then the discourses about Krishna consciousness become very pleasing to the mind and to the heart, to the ear and to the heart. Otherwise, if we have some kind of barrier, then whatever sound vibration is about Krishna is floating in the air, our ears and our heart will reflect them. They'll bounce off our ears, or else they'll go right through our ear, through one ear and right out the other one, because there won't be any space between. Therefore, one has to be, if one actually tastes of the process, then hearing about Krishna becomes very nice. As much as we seriously, sincerely take to the process, to that, then everything becomes nice to hear about Krishna. Just like it is explained here that Prahlad Maharaj is so qualified and so enlightened, as Maharaj Vidura was also in that same qualification, ear to the heart. Otherwise, if we have some kind of barrier, then whatever sound vibration that's about Krishna is floating in the air, our ears and our heart will reflect them. They'll bounce off our ears. Or else they'll go right through our ear, through one ear, and right out the other one. Because there won't be any space between. Therefore, one has to be, if one actually takes to the process, then hearing about Krishna becomes very nice. As much as we seriously, sincerely take to the process, to that, then everything becomes nice to hear about Krishna. Just like it is explained here that Prahlad Maharaj is so qualified and so enlightened, as Maharaj Vidura was also in that same qualification, as Maharaj Yudhisthira said, Vida Vidas Bhagavatas Tirtam Bhutak Svayam Vibho Tirti Tirtani Bhutani Svantak Stena Gatabritaha. Because Maharaj Vidura was constantly absorbed in Krishna consciousness because he was always remembering Krishna's quality and pastimes and loving past activities. Therefore, wherever he went, it was just like the spiritual world. He created the atmosphere of the spiritual world. Therefore, it was very nice to hear from him because everything was transcendental. Similarly, there was one Brahmin, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime, who was constantly meditating upon Krishna, Gopal, and Vrindavan. And so he came to the house. He's a very saintly person. Jagannath Misra and Mother Sachi, they both offered respects to him because he was such an elevated devotee of Krishna. And he offered some rice, but then Krishna, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and immediately took the rice and ate some of it and spoiled it. Therefore, the Brahmin, he had to cook again. And again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and took the rice and ate it. And he was so disturbed, and everyone was so disturbed, that they grabbed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they locked him up into the room, and 12 o'clock at night, in the middle of the night, the Brahmin cooked again and was about to offer the prasadam to his deity of Gopal. And at this moment, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu crawled out of the room, and everyone was asleep, and ate the rice again. So this is too much for the Brahmin. He said, well, I guess I have to fast. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, why are you complaining? He said, you keep on calling me all the time to come and eat. And I'm so kind, I'm coming and eating, and you're complaining. And then he revealed himself as Krishna in Vrindavan, as Gopal, with all the cowherd boys and the Chintamani trees, a couple of Riksha trees and Chintamani, and everything. And then the Brahmin was completely in ecstasy, and he immediately took the rice and smeared it all over his body and began to eat some of it and started to cry out in ecstasy and woke everyone up and said, don't worry about it. That's what it means to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Of course, we can't artificially do that. We can't wait until I'm in Vrindavan, then I can go out and tell someone about it. But if we go out and we preach, especially by distributing Prabhupada's books, follow the orders, then Krishna will create the atmosphere, because it's only by that atmosphere that people take us seriously. So if we're sincere about distributing the book, then Krishna will reciprocate by creating, by putting us in the atmosphere by which people will actually take the book. Not that we should necessarily desire that I must be in this atmosphere. No. If we desire to do service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, to Srila Prabhupada, then Krishna will create the atmosphere that's necessary so that we can do the service. And that atmosphere means put us into Vrindavan. So if we just desire to do that service of distributing the books, then Krishna will bring Vrindavan to us. Not that we have to struggle to go to Vrindavan. If we just struggle to do the service, then Krishna will personally come and bring Vrindavan there. And that way people will become attracted. And they'll take the book. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was preaching and Krishna created the atmosphere. Similarly, Prabhupada prayed that when he came aboard the Jaladuta, when he was in Boston Harbor, that he was praying that these people are in the modes of ignorance and passion. But you are the most wonderful mystic, so therefore if you desire to deliver them, you can do so. So I just simply desire that you can make my words transcendently potent so they can enter into their hearts and enliven them and enlighten them in Krishna consciousness. So if we desire like that to preach, then Krishna will transform our words and make them transcendental, spiritual. He'll give us the right words to say at the right moment with the right spiritual potency, and then people's hearts will be transformed. And this is the way that we'll develop our own faith in Krishna consciousness. Not that by some other means, by our own program, by our own method, we're going to transform our words. No, that depends upon Krishna. And if we do Krishna's service or seva to the disciple succession, then Krishna will do the necessary to transform our words and make them appropriate and potent. But any other way we do it, they'll always fail, they'll always be fall lack, short of the goal, and neither others will become enlivened or enlightened by our words, nor will we. Although you can say something that temporarily will encourage people, but in the long run, it won't give any permanent effect. So, we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Are there any questions? Yes. By hearing from people who are faithful in the association of devotees who want to hear, and then trying to understand what you've heard so it's clear enough that you can do something practical about it in terms of service, and then do that service, and then Krishna will increase your faith by giving you realization. Well, because Krishna consciousness means a whole unlimited realizations. It doesn't mean now I've gotten one realization or two realizations, my business is finished, I can go back to my real business of speculating and sense gratification. Perfection is a series of gradual changes in the right direction. So, a little realization here, a little realization there. And over many years, they gradually build up, and then we become realized, actually fully realized. So we shouldn't be satisfied, now I've gotten a little realization, now I can sit back for a while and ride Maya, the roller coaster of Maya. And when it gets too rough, then I'll try and get back and get a few more realizations. No, we shouldn't be complacent with I've made so much advancement, and now I can relax a little. We do that, as soon as you stop making an effort to advance in Krishna consciousness, and at once Maya captures us and we become subjected to her influence until we wake up again and realize I must make more effort. Anything else? Yes. Well, there's three things. One is use of one's own intelligence. We have to understand what's appropriate. We have to use our intelligence. Second is by scriptural study. We have to hear from those previous authorities and see how they approach Krishna under different circumstances. And finally, we just have to make an effort to pray to Krishna. And Krishna is in our heart. He'll give us the understanding. He'll give us if we're sincere and serious, then Krishna will give us the words. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he was dumbfounded when he saw it. Narayan, personally, directly. But then Narayan touched his head with a conch shell and he became enlightened and enlivened to offer prayers. So if we use our intelligence the best we can, we take take the examples of previous authorities and how they approach Krishna, and then seriously try and do it, then Krishna will help. So, thank you very much. Granthiraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.